Good morning, planet Earth. Springtime's a-comin'. Springtime's almost here. It'll green itself in the growing of the flower year. You'll see a tiny deer drinking from a blue spring. Because springtime's here. And you can hear the change rattling in your pocket. Yep. It is Sunday. Sunday, March the 16th. 2025 Boblimpdoc. It's just after 5 a.m. on the Olympic Peninsula, not far from those wild mountains where the terrible, dangerous mountain women hang out. Way up in them there Olympic mountains are the mountain women of the peninsula. They live in camps, they make their own clothes from the animals that they trap. They herd cats, I mean it. They have lots and lots of cats. The animal women of the Olympic Mountains. So, I have to kind of talk about two things. One is related to an incident that happened a few months ago, and if you listen to my podcast, all three or four, or how many of you are real, it had to do with that journalist reaching out to me about that person I don't like talking about. And ever since then, it's been this background radiation of bullshit. I still have some dude sending me emails. And yeah, I've decided to return fire. You know, scammers, if scammers going to try to scam me, I'm going to I'm going to throw back as much as I get and have fun doing it. And that's what I've been doing. Because if in fact this were a real person, they would have blocked my email addresses like weeks ago. They wouldn't have even engaged me. They wouldn't have, quote unquote, as the kids say, triggered me. If this had been a real person, there are so many ways this person could call me on the phone at this point. In fact, it's absurd that I haven't gotten a call. And I remember 2019 saying to myself, why is this person coming, even though I said I would prefer if you didn't? I have email records, shithead. I can actually point to emails that basically say, please do not visit. I have conversations, you know, of the same. And yet you still wanted to visit. And when I first saw you, I thought, that guy looks like an ex-Ranger. He doesn't look like a cop who just lost a bunch of weight using some veggie bowl. No. Steam bucket. What is that thing called? The turd bucket? Anyways, it cooks your food for you. You just put it in a bucket and put it in the steam bucket and let the heater bucket cook your shit food. And then you add to it, being in Las Vegas for really more than 2 weeks, and not once a cup of coffee. I mean, again, nothing added up about this dude, and in retrospect, is why I'm not going to really dox him in any functional sense. I don't think he fucking exists, is my point. Like, I do know I met a person in September 2019. I do know that he looked ex-military. He didn't look like a cop. I do know that he was kind of, you know, reserved. If I were playing that role, I'd be reserved too. At the time, I was kind of getting to the point with people where, you know, you kind of put him into a Schrodinger category. And if you'd asked me back then, I would have said, I don't know. 50-50. Because in late 2019, all my alarms were going off, and in general, I was telling people, get ready because the world's about to change in a big way. And brothers and sisters, as I've said so many times, and I mean it, I wish it was over. Like, if you look at the things that Donald Trump is doing, a lot of this is stuff that, you know, I don't like the government, but I don't mind, you know, having my taxes, you know, I don't mind not being taxed, for example, if I make less than $150,000 or something. And as far as $5,000 checks go, this is a crooked Death Star. You better believe Elon Musk has gotten a few $5,000 checks in that figurative sense. So, yeah, but he's saving the astronauts. Dan, he's saving the astronauts. But it is March the 16th. It is 2025. And yeah, Elon Musk is saving the astronauts. Just like he saved those people in the cave by calling some dude a pedo. Yeah, Elon's a real, real piece of work. And anybody running their life based upon what that piece of shit says is crazy. But the reality is, a lot of what they're doing, even though it is theatrical, it's performative, it's not real. I wish I could convince the people who I still respect, who call themselves mega men, that you're about to get really disappointed, especially if you have any logic left. And this isn't about Biden being a better choice. There was never a choice, is kind of my point. And this is off track of the whole, the guy I sometimes call the Goat King and the mysterious dude from wherever town. But the fact is the government wastes money on a lot of stupid, terrible shit. And if you were going to put on a show, and believe me, COVID was a fucking show, it's going to cost a lot of money. In some ways, probably 1,000 times more expensive than using an actual bioweapon. Like a bioweapon, which, like I said, if you're a clever biologist and you have a sample kit and you live near a county hospital, hint, hint, and you don't mind hanging out in the ER, just hang out in the ER and take those little stealthy samples, you could have yourself a nice little thingy in about a week or two, maybe a month or two, might take a year. But the point is, yeah, that's where the really creepy shit is being cooked up. It's not your fucking bio labs, Dane Wigington. It's every hospital in the United States of America. Every single, there's your bio lab. Oh my God, Dan, I can't believe you said that. Talk to anybody who understands infectious disease and ask them, is a modern hospital a gauntlet for microbial life? And the answer is yes. And you might say, well, gauntlet, doesn't that mean it's dangerous and it kills it? Huh? Kills some, the weak ones, like it's Sparta. In fact, that's another way of thinking of a county hospital. It is Sparta for microbes, fungal, single-celled, amoebic, viral, bacterial, you name it. The hospital is a gauntlet. It's like Sparta, and the weak ones do get destroyed, and the stuff left behind on the wall that you can't even kill with bleach at this point, yeah. That's why you take the sample kit. Fucking retards. Anywho, I don't even know if the Goat King is real. Like the whole thing with that reporter, it was such a synthetic and almost expected thing given what I was doing at the time. At the time, I was trying to start writing again. I was on track. I had finished a book last year, my manifesto, and it'll have other editions. Currently, I call it the 10th edition or the 20th edition, whatever. It's 83,000 words of magical bullshit. Way better than, you know, what we're about to talk about, you know. But I was actually trying to do creative things, and then out of fucking nowhere. And here's how, because I was still doing the blue checkmark bullshit on Twitter. But then I shut that down too. And then out of fucking nowhere, right after I did that, I get this magical bullshit from Anna Banana. So yeah, a lot of this doesn't add up. And also, I just don't fucking care. I'm testing the fourth wall every day now, just like a lot of us are without even knowing it. And the fact that I find it there doesn't bother me, and I don't even need to know for certain why. Which brings me to the next topic. Have you ever heard of the scariest book in the world? Because, to tell you the truth, it is a kind of a scary book. It might be the scariest book in the world. I'm going to read something from the ADL, that's the Anti-Defamation League.org, and the link title is The Turner Diaries, and it's under the Extremism, Terrorism, Bigotry column. Author, William Pierce, published 78. I'm not going to read all of this. The scene is chillingly familiar. A rented truck filled with cases of dynamite. Blah, blah, blah. Most people would recognize this as the deadliest domestic terrorist act. Blah, blah, blah. Birth of the New World Order. Da, 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 da. I don't want to read it. It's its own kind of garbage. It's a lot like reading the Turner Diaries, which we're going to get to next, or reading Mein Kampf. The ADL produces its own garbage as well. I just don't want to read it. When I was a freshman at the UW, I saw a film, because I used to go see movies. I didn't have girlfriends. Oh, that's because you're incel. No, I was ballcel. But I would go see movies by myself often. And I remember seeing this movie, and I think I actually went with my brother to see this one. It was called Talk Radio. And it was really as described. I don't know if Oliver Stone directed it, wrote the screenplay, or both, but it was one of those Oliver Stone films, as I remember, but whatever. Produced by, maybe. And, you know, you have the character, the talk radio guy, the Glenn Beck, whatever, the Alex Jones, you know, the Rush Limbaugh type person. And he's doing his little thing about how the country is garbage and everybody's garbage. And he's talking to people on the phone that he can make fun of. And on one level, it's kind of funny because, I don't know, it's like the world of talk TV, how it went really degenerate really fast. You know, it did not take long, not much more than a decade. When you think about, oh my God, what's his name? Well, think about Oprah, for example. But there were others. And you go back in time and you have these people and they're like, okay, let's have a conversation about this issue. It's really scary. And then 10 years later, it's, you know, Sally Jesse, Raphael. It's Jerry Springer. In fact, I think Jerry Springer's kind of like where it all ended up. And I know that that's probably not a show any longer because you have YouTube. You have the internet. You can have all the Jerry Springer you want all the time. There's a billion Jerry Springers out there, probably. So the show Talk Radio came out about that time. Okay, Phil Donahue. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. So think of Phil Donahue. And think of the arc of Phil Donahue to Jerry Springer. Okay, anyways, that was a fast trip. That was about a decade, and then everything falls apart. Talk Radio is a good movie. I liked it. At the time, I really liked it. I think it stands the test of time. It does deal with the main character, who is this talk jock on the radio. And then there's this other sort of subtopic dealing with the rise of the militia, which is an indirect attack on it, because what the film Talk Radio ends up doing is putting everyone in the same bucket. And the bucket is racist. Because really, that is the message. The message of the movie on that level, below the surface, that's one of its messages. But, you know, I'm going to mention the name of the book, The Turner Diaries. And the Turner Diaries, I'm not going to read them. I thought I might read them, but I'm not going to for a lot of reasons. I did a search on the N-word, and I know enough people who are African-American to understand that of the various folks who have been attacked and destroyed and manipulated and divided and conquered, of the various groups that this government has persecuted right from the beginning. Okay, it didn't magically happen. We were a crooked homeowners association right from the beginning. If you think we weren't, you're confused. And by the way, every government is some kind of crooked homeowners association. It's just a question of how crazy. The reason why ours didn't become immediately crazy is because immediately we couldn't fund much of an army or a navy or a Marine Corps. And there sure as shit wasn't an Air Force back then. We could afford just enough troops to persecute indigenous peoples, kick them off the properties, so we could expand the Homeowners Association. And as the Homeowners Association expanded in the 19th century, we did more of that moving people around stuff. We made sure there were stories in the newspapers telling you how these savages have to be moved around and killed, because we don't have a choice, right? We were a crooked homeowners association from the beginning. And the thing about a lot of these, I don't know how to put it, neo-Nazis, is that all they want to do is take one crooked homeowners association and replace it with another. And it's dumb. It's dumb. So no, I'm not going to read this particular book for lots of reasons, not least of which, I'm not a fan of the N-word. You know, you probably know from listening to me, I push the envelope on a lot of free speech topics, and I don't care up to a certain point. But you do have to step back. Like, what, for example, I don't use the J word a lot. I don't. I try to avoid it. You might find it here and there, but I try to avoid saying Jew just because I think it's a misunderstood term. I really do. And I try to avoid other types of slurs. I use them once in a while, especially in my creative writing, and that makes it kind of crazy and dangerous. But once again, you know. But I don't think I use the N-word ever. And it's not because I've been programmed. It's because it's obvious to me, based upon my experiences, based upon the limited things I've seen in the world, that this is one of those groups of people in American history that has a reason to be pissed off. I don't believe in reparations. I don't believe you can turn back the clock. But I do think we have to recognize what happened. You know, the thing about, I bring this up a lot. So yeah, this is a major rant side quest. I bring this up a lot. But you cannot have forgiveness without the truth. If you come up to me randomly and say, forgive me, I'm going to look at you and say, how? How? What? What did you do? And then you say, well, I can't tell you. Brothers and sisters, you cannot forgive without the truth. One of the reasons why lying is a principal sin is because a lot of what we're going to do in this life, if we want to do it without killing each other, is about being honest. Not perfectly honest. Listen, you're a human being. You sin. I'm a human being. I sin. And believe me, I'm not 100% honest all the time. But I try to be as honest as possible for both ethical and, frankly, tactical reasons. You know, one of the ways in which they do things, and I learned this my 5 days in Ireland, in that shitty little town around the Goat King, one of the ways they do things to you is to set you up. To set you up, to slur your name, to find out some dirt about you that no one else knows. One of the reasons why my podcasts are as weird as they are is because I want you to understand if there's dirt I'm keeping from you that is as crazy and dangerous as whatever, it probably ain't much. And it probably doesn't even really exist because I do talk about almost everything. Not all the time. It's not a cringe fest, but yeah, I try not to play pretend. So if somebody comes up to me and says, forgive me, and I have to ask, what for what? And they'll say, I can't tell you. Then go fuck yourself. You're a deceiver. And by the way, the CIA does this a lot in terms of their public affairs. They'll say things like, well, post ad hoc blah blah, you know, if you only knew our successes, you would thank us. And it's like, great. So a liar is telling me they're helping me. They won't tell me how. They want me to thank them. No, fuck you. I know the work of Satan, CIA. I know your work. I know who you protect. It isn't God. It certainly isn't the American people. So what is a Jewish person? Well, that's actually hard to say because if you were to ask the average person, what is a Jewish person? They might tell you, well, that's somebody who lives in the state of Israel. That's somebody who follows the Jewish faith of Judaism. It's an ethnic group. The problem is none of those descriptions is satisfactory. The reality is there are a lot of people who call themselves Jewish who are not technically ethnically Jewish. There are a lot of folks who say they're religiously Jewish, and like Christians, maybe they are, maybe they're not, but only God could know. I mean, that's one of the things I'm thankful for, is I don't have to be the judge. I judge, and it burns my soul. I feel rage, and it's the wrath that destroys me. But one of the ways I can free myself is to remind myself I do not have to judge. I don't. I can be angry. I can be frustrated. But I don't have to be the person that sets a curse upon someone. That is not my job. So there are lots of people who call themselves Christians, and they probably are not Christians, folks. And if you're wondering if that's in prophecy, it is. And there are a lot of people who call themselves the children of Jacob. And to tell you the truth, some of them are and some of them are not. And the good news is it's not our place to decide. I don't want to monitor my neighbor for their beliefs. I want to live with my neighbor in respect. If you come up to my door and you force me to believe something that I think is stupid, I think I'm not going to be happy about that. But if we can respect each other and not do things like that, then all of a sudden we're neighbors and we don't have to think too deeply on whether our neighbor believes something we disagree with. Now, does that mean I'm okay with human sacrifices and people killing kids and hurting kids? No. It just means that there are better ways to solve that problem if you know you know. And frankly, historically, it's been more just when it's done that way. Despite all the lawyer bullshit and propaganda from the... yeah. Despite all of the crap we get from lawyers about how they're so necessary because we have mob rule, no. No, I think it worked better. I think it was more just without the lawyers. And if you needed one, you know, probably your best lawyer was your friend. But no, I think the system as it is right now is not just broken, it's incredibly crooked. What a rant. If we want to use the term Jew, which I don't know we should also remember this. Sometimes the ethnic category is Semitic, but there are and have been many Semitic peoples. One way to describe what's going on in the Middle East is one group of Semites dropping bombs on another, because these are people of a common ancestry. And by the way, you ever hear the Phoenicians? When I was a kid, I would, you know, be reading some children's history book, and I'd see one of their ships described in that color painting, and they're like, you know, they're out there battling each other and ramming each other and whatever. In reality, the Phoenicians were a lot of, you know, merchants. In some ways, they were a lot like today's anarchists in the sense that they weren't as much about government as a thing, necessarily, as they were about business. At least that's what it seems like according to the culture we get. The Carthaginians were of that group. So, you know, Hannibal and the Great Wars, the Punic Wars, these were, you know, wars between Rome and what was at the time one of the most powerful empires that did in fact connect back to the Phoenicians. Phoenicians were Semites. There were lots of different groups of people in that part of the world that were ethnically Jewish. Some people define ethnically Jewish in those terms, and if so, then a lot of the people there, some of them are Muslim, some of them practice Judaism, could be categorized as Semitic. And so calling someone an anti-Semite literally means they hate the Phoenicians, they hate the Carthaginians. I joke about hating Denmark, but if I had a country I hated, that's the most evidence you're going to find is there. Secondarily, the Roman Empire. I don't believe any of that crooked nonsense. There were good emperors, and then there was the Republic. Rome was a crooked, crooked homeowners association from the beginning. All of its neighbors hated Rome. If Hannibal had been a little bit smarter when it comes to understanding the situation on the peninsula, on the boot, Rome would have been burnt to the ground. All we would know of Rome is some crooked poem from some nasty pedo Roman Latin refugee. Yeah, we would have one crooked poem about how crappy a place that was and how everybody's lives improved once it was destroyed. That's how I feel about Rome. Rome is one of those scars. We would have a different word. We use the word civilization because of Rome. But what I can tell of civilization at this point is that people can observe the dropping of 10,000 tons of TNT per square mile and not even have an extra thought about it. They can see the god-awful spraying in the sky and play pretend about the 20 different types of new clouds. They don't even marvel at the idea that it was raining in the Arctic Circle when, you know, New Orleans had a snowstorm. Yeah, people, a lot of people, enough people right now are in a deep state of delusion. Very confused. Get back to the topic. So no, I'm not going to read the Turner Diaries. I don't want to talk about that issue. Here's what I do want to say. I think the Turner Diaries might be an example of another kind of limited hangout, but I also think their purpose is the sort of the purpose here. I don't think this book is accidental. It's why I'm kind of rejecting it. I think my discernment is helping me, but I think books like this are not accidental. It's sort of like the Anarchist Cookbook. I would love to believe that particular book comes randomly from like some group of cool dudes or whatever. But in reality, at this point, just like Bitcoin, just like all of it, I don't think so. I think these are things that were constructed for control. And this purpose as a way to link the hyper-racism to this belief, and I do believe it, that our government might be under the control of the state of Israel. And in that sense, it would be ZOG, right? The Zionist Occupational Government. Now, let's talk about Zionism. Zionism is not about being Jewish. It isn't. It was a crooked philosophy developed by another crooked person wanting to start a homeowners association by the name of Theodore Herzl. And the idea was, well, you know, in the Bible it says Israel is our property. Wow, imagine if the Irish had ever had good arguments like that. Yeah, Israel's our property, and so we all get to go back home, and if there are people there, you know, what happens, happens. You gotta break some eggs. That's not exactly what he said, but that's the message. And by the time you get to the 20th century, the Zionist movement is already influencing governments. But in reality, Herzl was probably a lot like Hitler, in the sense that he was a constructed person for a purpose. He was put together, he was packaged, probably by other people. We'll never know for sure. So was Lenin. A lot of these people you think are out of nowhere, rebel heroes. You really need to look deeper, folks. We don't have a lot of time left to look that deep. It's why the Elon Musk thing and the Trump thing is so funny. People are getting double whammied, double mind fucked, you know, basically spit roasted by bullshit. If you know, you know, right? The truth is, I don't have any Jewish friends. I don't really know any Jewish people. I don't spend a lot of time, or at least I used to not spend a lot of time thinking about it, but what has really been kind of troubling in my lifetime as I've gotten older is this idea that there are certain things that don't go away. For example, we're reminded almost every year at the Oscars about the Holocaust. Almost. It seems like almost every year or every other year, the movie that wins or might have won is some film about the Holocaust. I'm going to tell you something straight up. If somebody keeps repeating themselves over and over again, I begin to think they're a liar. I'm sorry. You know, terrible things. There have been emperors and kings and queens who have burnt books to erase the truth of terrible things. And what we've found out historically is terrible things get found out. They do. They escape. And so the idea that something that terrible could have happened and it wouldn't have been its own truth is absurd. But what is clear is we are reminded every few years that it happened. And then we are reminded that there's a link between that and the state of Israel. The state of Israel is a crooked homeowners association. I don't think it's going to make it. In fact, the best comparison is one I've already made. Imagine if Jim Jones had nuclear weapons. You don't need to. You look at the state of Israel. Look at North Korea. There are countries right now, homeowners associations, that are really, really crooked, really, really evil in their own way, and they have nukes. But if you live in fear of a bully, you're always going to get bullied. And the simplest thing we could do at this point is just reject it. I don't mean go after people who are Jewish. And that's the problem. People end up reading a book like the Turner Diaries. And then they immediately believe they know who the bad guys are. You don't know. I don't know for sure. And being Jewish probably has nothing to do with it. But Zionism is not intrinsically Jewish. The state of Israel does not represent the children of Jacob. That is my belief. And if I am not a fan of the state of Israel, and if I am not a fan of Zionism, that doesn't mean I'm an anti-Semite, which by itself is an absurd term. Like I said, when I was a kid, I thought the Phoenicians were pretty fucking cool. And I know, but Dan, did you know that they would cook people and giant metal cows? Listen, they all did that stuff. Uh-huh. Yeah. The rape of the Sabine woman. Yeah. Research some of Rome's real trophies. You know, research the Roman trophies of their greatest hits. Yeah, the people that get all this credit for civilization, which is really the word that I think I don't even want to say at this point because it's a sick word. It's a twisted word. It means lies. These people are not people to be respected. they are part of the problem. One could almost argue that the Roman Empire never really was destroyed, that it is a kind of cancer, and that it's never really been dealt with, ever. That the greatest thing that could have ever happened is that, like I said, during the Second Punic War, wiped out. As far as the state of Israel goes, it does look like they have control over our government at this point. Or at least it appears that way. It is also possible that this is a limited hangout. That they're creating this obvious narrative for the purpose of attracting people to it so they can play pretend. If you understand my base case, it's really quite simple. In late 2019, somebody pulled the trigger. Maybe it's because their models said we would be in total economic collapse within 5 to 10 years. Maybe it's because their models said all that lying we've been doing about climate change and global warming and covering it up with, geoengineering. Well, we don't want to tell people the truth that the Arctic system, however it started, because tipping points are like that, it's no longer really relevant, that the Arctic permafrost system's in collapse and we're headed to a new equilibrium state. And it could be bad, or it could be really, really bad, and it's going to happen, faster than 100 years. Or as Dr. Freckles once said, and boy, you should be keeping up with the news, folks, if the government tells you something's going to happen in 100 years, you know one of two things are true. A, it's never going to happen. Or B, it's already happening, brother. So I don't want to talk more about this, really. I can take a principled stand against Zionism, the State of Israel, and frankly, any influence this crooked death cult has on people. It is crooked, it's evil, it's killing people. It's as bad as the People's Temple crap of Jim Jones, and if you can't see that, I'm sorry. A lot of Christians will connect their being Christians to the State of Israel. This is not a good move. I'm not a person who would tell you that with any certainty that what we're seeing vis-a-vis the State of Israel is connected to prophecy. But my discernment in my heart tells me that there is nothing about Jesus or God being represented by that crooked government. Nothing about Yahweh, nothing about Hesed. If you think about the God of the children of Jacob, he was a kind God. He was. He is. He's just. Nothing that we're seeing fits into those categories. All that we're seeing is a crooked death cult. And if you want to say, well, Dan, it sounds like you're a Holocaust denier. No, I state the facts. If you keep telling me something over and over again, at some point, according to Claude Shannon's signal theory, I'm going to simply call bullshit. That it is a statistical impossibility that you're telling me the fucking truth. Next topic. And that's the other thing, too. I think that there are people who want to drive us to the answer, well, it's because of this group of people or that group of people. And what you'll find is that every group of people that gets listed are people who are mostly poor, mostly don't have a voice, and generally speaking, nobody cares about. So whether it's illegal aliens or homeless people, it's no accident that these two groups are being targeted right now. I will tell you this, Mr. and Mrs. America, please listen. It isn't that far a trip to be homeless. And once you get there, you'll be in the same bucket. And the people that used to know you won't know you any longer. And the people that used to call you friends will unfriend you. You will understand a loneliness that hasn't existed much in human history because it took a lot of crooked people to bring it back. If you ever wanted to know what Abraham felt like before the Lord spoke to him, in that wasteland, that emptiness, that brutality of 5 or 6,000 years ago, if you ever wanted to know how brutal that was, understand there are plenty of homeless people who are not drug addicts, not crazy, not thieves, not anything evil, just simply so poor they can't afford a place to rest. You want to understand the loneliness of Abraham. Understand that world. Next topic. So yeah, don't read the Turner Diaries. Not unless you want to read something that looks to be kind of retarded. Read my manifesto. Go to boblimpdoc.com. And know this, all manifestos are fiction. Okay, so I picked out a couple of these popping smoke headlines from Zero Hedge because I just love to beat up on Zero Hedge. One of them deals with, you know, Elon Musk's rescue mission, which supposedly is happening right now. They're going to be up in space for a couple days, and then they're going to come back down, whatever. That doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. It seems like you could orbit, it might take 90 minutes to 180 minutes or whatever, but you could probably orbit back around and get off the station, but yeah, it doesn't add up. It doesn't. But anyways, Elon's going to save them in a couple days. On one level, this really is another one of those smoke grenades. Like, you marvel at it, you baffle it, you know, like you're saying to yourself, do I take this seriously? Some people that listen to me, and I respect it, don't take it very seriously. I am one of those people. This doesn't mean I'm a flat earther. This doesn't mean that I don't think space exists. But when it comes to outer space and NASA, I think they're big time deceivers. So it's hard for me to take some of this seriously. This is a lot of drama. This drama, you know, kind of excites people a little bit. It's like, oh, this is like Apollo 13. It's not like Apollo 13. These guys aren't going to the moon. Nobody, no human being has landed on the moon since, you know, before I was 3 years old. So sorry, that's not what's going on here. And if you want to get excited about it, that's okay, but it looks like a lot of dramatic, theatrical, once again, performative bullshit. The other thing is related to this topic I've already mentioned. Lutnick explains Trump plan to eliminate taxes for those earning under $150,000. Well, I don't think this crooked game's going to last much longer. I do stick to my estimate of 5 years. I could have been a little bit off, but I don't think I'm that far off. So even thinking about not paying taxes next year is a bit absurd for me. I just think it's weird. I think if we're paying taxes next year, as fucked up as this sounds, we'll be really lucky. It means that things are still kind of normal, but I don't think we're going to be there next year. But again, this type of headline, the story keeps people sort of entranced. You know, deer in the headlight gets used a lot. A lot of what the Trump administration is doing right now is smoke and excitement and music and noise and flashing lights. And for all intents and purposes, just like with the COVID, they've got the population under control. And what's most importantly, they have the most dangerous demographic under control, and that's gun owners. They own the mind of the gun owner. I figured this out 8 years ago, but it is so true right now. Everybody in the system, I don't care if they're soldiers, sailors, Marines, airmen in the military right now, active duty, or people who are, you know, maybe veterans, or even just people who own guns, every part of the structure right now that would potentially threaten the center is entranced by Trump. He has them under control. And so if he talks about, you know, depopulating Gaza, folks, you got to think on this for a second. You can have all the opinions about 10-7 you want to. I really don't fucking care. But once you've decided to drop 40,000 tons of TNT in the first month and a half of a campaign that looks to be a campaign against poor people, you've lost me. Sorry. That's just too absurd. It's too fucking retarded and evil. So I don't know the full truth of 10-7. I've always thought the paraglider thing was absurdly stupid, a lot like box cutters, but you can believe what you want to believe. I don't care. I don't think anybody tried to actually assassinate Trump last summer. I came to that conclusion the first 30 seconds after I saw that crooked Iwo Jima photo. A lot of you need to believe it. You need to. You have to. That's why this works, by the way. This works so much better than anything else, because these are things that a lot of the mega men need to believe, want to believe, have to believe. If they even for a moment recognize the possibility that they're being lied to, that they're being deceived, and that best case, it's because the state of Israel owns our government, and worst case, it's way fucking worse, and that's just a limited hangout. That the worst case is they've been covering up, they've been carpet bombing the third eye for 5 years to cover up a fuzzy event. Something so fucking terrible that they would gaslight billions of people for 5 years. What do you call that? And people say, well, Dan, it's the reset. These are people who were able to do anything they wanted to for more or less 7,000 years. They were doing all the crooked things you describe out in the open prior to 2020. So when people come to me with a reset, say, well, they'll have the power to do this. And no, they had all the power they wanted. They had the power to shut down the world. And Trump, whether he's a real person or just a faker, like other fakers I've met, it doesn't matter. There was never a person who was going to stand up against it. What I think is really hilarious is that things could get bad enough, but slowly bad enough, that they could have time to have to need to, you know, collect the guns. And Trump and J.D. Trance, or maybe this is after, you know, the make-believe Trump guy gets taken out, you know, taken to the farm so they can attack Iran, whatever. But the point is, they'll come out and they'll say, if you care about America, you got to give up your guns. Mega Man will go around his neighborhood with a Chevy pickup and he'll take all the guns, you know, to the landfill. That's what's going to happen if it lasts that long. But brothers and sisters, it can't. I don't think it will. Next topic. I mean, some people say, well, you mean they won't collect guns? Listen, they're going to tell you all kinds of crazy stuff. They're going to paint logs black and call them artillery until the very end. The stock market, as I've said so many times, will probably keep going up days, if not weeks, after there's no food. Okay? Next topic. So, again, I like Dane Wigington. I don't like his takes on the Romans. I don't like his takes on, you know, or I should say Marcus Aurelius, because there were no good Roman emperors. I don't like his takes about the bioweapons labs. But when it comes to the geoengineering, he's about the only good source out there. That's the truth. But he brings up these bunkers all the time. He never addresses the Antarctica Treaty. He never really goes where he should go. And he quoted this one headline, Apocalypse Now, Doomsday Bunker Secretly Installed. I'm going to stop right here. Like Khrushchev's secret speech, which was ironic 5 minutes before he gave it, like this is retarded. If you believe you can read about a secret bunker these people are going to, then I don't know what to say about you. I'm sorry that you have, you know, this could be related to the nanoscale aluminum building up in the brain, the microplastics, because maybe people are getting this fucking dumb. But no, you're probably not going to read about their bunkers in Wired Magazine or whatever. This is the South Island Head of News, New Zealand Herald. Oh, guys, you're not going to read about where they're going in the newspaper. I know that sounds counterintuitive to you, Mega Man, but you need to grow up. You think you're going to know where you're at the end when you see them flying the coop. But what if I told you most of them flew the coop probably before 2020? So whatever bunker complex exists, they're there. Me personally, I can't think of a better place than Antarctica, because it's got all the fresh water you need, it's got resources, it's got plenty of altitude, it's in its own virtual and separate weather system, so yeah. Antarctica's the best choice if you have technology and resources, and a few decades, it's been a few decades since that interesting treaty we signed with the Soviets back during the height of the Cold War, it's been a few decades. So they could have quite a complex down there, nuclear powered, everything. But no, we're probably not going to read about it, though. And they're going to do everything they can to mock people who say this. But there's no place on Earth where they could go to that would be more likely to separate them from the people that want to destroy them when the time comes. So, and if you want a warning signal, it's not the market, it's not looking for the rich people getting on helicopters. It's all the middle management people doing the cover your ass bullshit, as I mentioned the other day. You want a warning sign? Take a look at all the cover your ass bullshit, especially when it comes to what's going on in the Arctic. There's your fucking warning sign. Good luck. And the microplastic shit. There you go. Middle management is covering its ass because they do not have a condo. Wherever the condo complex is, and I think it's Antarctica, those people don't have a fucking condo. And they know somebody's gonna, you know, someone's gonna take the trip. Someone's going to take the trip in a wagon as people throw rotten food at them. Someone is going to have to pay. And when the time comes, it's going to be these people who get targeted. So yeah, I think if you want a warning signal, look at all the cover your ass bullshit coming out of the system right now. Next topic. Dan, I read an article about a secret bunker. I know. And I'm going to try not to use the R word, but I want to use the R word. So I have been dancing around a kind of Sovietology psyop concept, and I'm not claiming it's original, but I'm sort of giving it a name, and I'm calling it an imploding incubator. And imploding incubators are kind of like the straw men, you know, like Saddam Hussein, people like that, people we set up to eventually destroy because it gives us a pretext to invade and steal resources. It's a common method going back, you know, a couple hundred years in our history, you know, back to the very first time that people dressed up like Native Americans and pretended to attack a village. Oh, look what they did. Now what do we have to do? Yeah, like that. False flags and straw men. We've been setting up those types of people for a long, long time. An imploding incubator is actually kind of a next level idea. Imagine you're living in the 1920s in America. And you're part of one of those technocracy, elite, secret society type people, organizations, whatever. Technocracy, secret organization of technocrats. And you want to have rocket ships, and you want to have computers, and you want to do something with this nuclear power that might look interesting. You want to have all this tech, but you also know that if you left it to just people making decisions, you might not have it for a few decades because people just don't want to pay for it until they want to pay for it. And the bottom line is, you know, it might be a while. So what do you do? Well, what if you could set up a whole society, an entire society simply to incubate technology? And the additional feature is like Ouroboros, like a snake eating its tail, like a black hole, it can kind of just implode upon itself once it's done. I know that sounds crazy. I know it sounds insane. It sounds insane because it kind of is insane. But what if you want to put it into a box, what if the setup of Nazi Germany was really about constructing a thing that was meant to produce a lot of interesting technology and whatever, and then just destroy itself, explode? It's kind of like Hitler asking Albert Speer to wire Germany to explode at the end of the war. I mean, Speer knew, he could have probably said it if he wanted to get killed. It's already been blown up, Hitler. You know, it's gone. There's nothing, you could tell me to roll around the German countryside. I could blow up every doghouse, but you know. Imploding incubators. And I think they're a rare phenomena. I don't know if we would be the first people to use one or develop one. But what if? What if what Nazi Germany really was about the technocracy setting up an incubator organization for the purposes of doing what they wanted to do with technology, getting the funding to do it, not just German funding, but then there would be American funding to work against the Germans. And by the way, when it comes to computing, a lot of leaps and bounds were made during World War II. With respect to computing. So by the time you get to the 1950s, yeah, it's early, it's UNIVAC, a memory core, looks like a giant metal donut. It's not too advanced yet, but you can tell where it's headed. It sounds insane, it does. I would say there are probably other examples. I would say some of them serve the purpose of psychological warfare, or I'm going to rephrase this. Some of these incubators aren't as much about technology as they are about social psychology. Again, you can't do experiments like this, right? You can't go to a university and say, "I would like to create a fake religion," and then do this and do that and then see what happens. These are not experiments that get approved of. But then think about Scientology, and think about how in the very same year that the Branch Davidians were burnt alive, the very same year that IRS recognized Scientology as a religion, it may seem accidental to you. I don't think it is accidental. I think maybe some of these incubators are kind of like straw men organizations. I think the Branch Davidians might have been sort of like that. So I guess what I'm saying is, sometimes the incubators really are about technology, but sometimes they're just about some other crooked agenda. I think that these types of groups get, you know, constructed, and then they get thrown away. ISIS, the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, these are organizations that have been created, and I think they can take on a life of their own, like Hamas, but ultimately, they come from a source. Anyways, next topic. I don't want to talk about this any further. Here's something that'll offend everyone, I hope. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. The fight between Arabs and Israelis often looks like a battle between two hookers concerning a dried and used up condom. They're looking at a dried condom, previously used, torn and ripped, soiled, and they're fighting over it. That's what it looks like to me. I mean, that's the energy level. And again, I do think that there are good guys and bad guys in a sense. Like, there's no way in hell I would put the state of Israel in the good guy category. But there are people, and I think that they're constructed. I think Hamas is a fake thing. But there are people who get dragged into that who also become monsters. And at the end of the day, if you're looking at that little slip of land, all I see is a dried and used condom. I see a bunch of Semites dropping bombs on a bunch of Semites and no reason or logic to it other than crazy. That's it. And I don't really know. You know, if you were to come back and say, well, Dan, if the state of Israel didn't exist, would that mean there'd be peace in the Middle East? I really don't know. I think peace would have a better chance. If you look at the strategy of Israel since its creation, it's been about not just divide and conquer, but inciting violence, inciting groups to attack them. And then they'll say, oh my God, look what just happened to us. Well, it doesn't seem so accidental, really. So no, I don't have a lot of respect for any of this. I do have not respect, I have sadness for the people, the actual men, women, and children who are being ground up in these conflicts, but I don't really have this belief that there are good guys, that Hamas are the good guys. Chances are Hamas is just Mossad, just like ISIS is just CIA. But even if they're real people, they're not heroes necessarily. All of these people are acting like jackasses because they're wasting human life over a dried and used and torn and soiled condom. That's about how much respect I have. If you come back to me, Mr. and Mrs. Zionist, I think you're a hooker fighting over a condom. If you come back to me, Muslim terrorist, I think you're a hooker fighting over a dried and used up condom. I think you all suck. I think there are children. I think there are men and women who want nothing to do with any of it. And if they could, they would go someplace else. But nobody wants them. We'll go over there. We'll blow them to pieces. We'll tear up their country. And then we'll say, can we find a poorer country we can dump these people in? By the way, that's Mega Man's plan. If you believe his words, that's Trump. If he's not just a column of smoke. But if I'm right and he's just a column of smoke, then you should be fucking worried. In fact, right now, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, right now, whether you're a liberal or a conservative, right now, if you're a good old NPR progressive, you should hope the guy is real. You should. Because if I'm right, you have to ask yourself, the COVID, the BLM Antifa, the Putin drag queen story time, what the fuck are they hiding? So yeah, you know, feel better, Mega Man. Mr. and Mrs. NPR, believe the guy is real. Believe he's not just a column of smoke. But if I'm going to try to take any of this seriously at all, I go back to what I said. I look at these conflicts around the state of Israel, and I'm left with, this is a crooked country. This is a crooked homeowners association. We should have never been involved in creating that atrocity. And it has only been an insult of hate for the last several decades, and that is the state of Israel. Nothing good has come of it. Nothing. They need our money. They drain us of our money. They influence our society. It is not because of Judaism, but it is because of what looks like a crooked death cult and maybe just another shitty HOA. And I don't, you know, that's the thing, is that people get driven to this place. And it's true, they get driven. Like, there are people in our society who run our society who want us to end up at hate. Hating people. I don't hate anybody in the state of Israel, but I do hate the government. I'm not a fan of our own government. None of these governments, as I've said, are anything more than a crooked HOA. And so, you know, you can say, well, my HOA is better than yours. Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. I don't really get to see the truth because, as the CIA says, you don't get to see our successes. Well, okay, liar. I take you seriously now. It is Sunday, March the 16th, 2025, Bo Blimpdoc. It is almost 6 a.m., which means I've been bloviating too long about imploding incubators. Incubator baby. Septic tank baby. If you're on Percocet, you better drink the water, maybe. Because if all you do is eat cheese and cheeseburgers for 4 or 5 days, and then lose track of the fact that you haven't pooped in 4 or 5 days, then you might have yourself a septic tank, baby. And you'll be in pain, and you'll be in labor for hours. But when that little baby, the little turd baby, looks up to you from inside the toilet, you'll have that feeling of love and softness that comes with a special type of tissue, that tissue you bought, you know? Because there ain't no toilet paper shortage now, and you can have all that softy bear tissue, softy bear style cat hair, you know, ground up coyote tissue that you want as much as you want. Have a great rest of your weekend.